spectrum HFCC, and there are a number of other alternative frequencies we won't go into now, all of them with 200 kilowatts. Switzerland NON from Bernd Zeiser via Dr. Hunter Wiener's DX Digest via the British DX Club. Upcoming broadcast by Swiss Electronic Music.
This is Stuart Moxham of The Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really boring.
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
So she's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down. But only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Acre broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms' International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org. WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Congress, in its wisdom, has prohibited pirate operators, that is, people who operate without licenses, from ever owning a low-power station. On the other hand, that same pirate could own, for example, WCBS-TV in New York City.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. H. Rose Snyder reports in the Times Union that Deputy Rensselaer County Republican Election Commissioner Corrine Sheldon has resigned, and she leaves October 31st in the midst of voting. Republican Board of Elections Commissioner Jason Schofield resigned from the post just before pleading guilty to 12 counts of voter fraud charges in January. So the county has neither Republican election post filled. Rensselaer County Democratic Minority Leader Peter Grimm has criticized Republicans for not appointing a replacement for Schofield. Rensselaer County is breaking the rules as Senate election laws require nominations to fill a vacant elections commissioner seat no later than 45 days after the vacancy. Director of Public Information Kathleen McGrath said, and I quote, We anticipate the staff of the county's Board of Elections will continue to do its work diligently throughout this election season. The state board stands ready and remains committed to working with the Rensselaer County Board of Elections and all county boards to ensure the integrity of the voting process, end quote. Voters go to the polls in New York this year from October 28th until November 7th. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that as Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. tries to raise its prices to consumers, they are also saying electric supply costs fell by more than a penny this month compared to September and less than half of what it was last year. October's supply costs fell to 7.6 cents per kilowatt hour from 9.1 cents in September. Before that, electricity prices had risen for four consecutive months. Central Hudson also reported that, for the ninth month in a row, gas supply costs also were lower. Gas supply prices are now at 37.8 cents per 100 cubic feet, down from 40.6 cents per 100 cubic feet in September, and less than half what prices were a year ago. The announcement comes as Central Hudson is currently asking the Public Service Commission for rate increases. The Public Service Commission is holding public hearings about the proposed rate increases, including one at 1:30 p.m. October 17th at the Robert Antonelli Senior Center, 15 Academy Street in Catskill. Central Hudson claims the new rates would add roughly $1 a day to the typical electric customer and $1 a day to most natural gas customers. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Courtney Ward reports for News 10 that a coalition including gas and construction companies and labor unions filed a federal lawsuit on October 12 to overturn New York's ban on natural gas lines in new buildings. This year's New York State budget prohibits gas lines in new construction in smaller buildings by 2026 and in larger buildings by 2029, with some exceptions. Those filing the lawsuit say the new law is preempted by federal law, while supporters say it will help combat global warming. Read more about this story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. And now, here is your WGXC Weekend Weather Report. On Sunday, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 56 degrees with a north wind at around 11 miles per hour. And on Sunday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 47 degrees. And on Monday, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 56 degrees. And that is your weekend weather report from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Green and Columbia counties.
Now we are going to talk with Rachel Elliott and Thomas Kuzumplik. Did I say that right?
That's good enough, yep.
Good enough. That's what everyone does after I butcher their names. You guys are the EK duo performing bassoon and percussion Monday, October 16th at Time and Space Limited in Hudson. Welcome to WGXC.
Thanks so much, Tom.
So tell us first, what is the EK duo? Where, how did you get the name? Where did you guys meet, or how did the whole thing get started?
Rachel and I have been playing music together for over 20 years, I guess. We met in graduate school, music school. And we toured together for years in a quartet called Clogs, C-L-O-G-S. And that's at clogsmusic.com if you're interested in checking out that music. And it's the we developed a way of playing together that was, you know, it was all classically trained musicians, but who also had interests in pop and social music. So we wanted to improvise and create our own stuff. So we explored that a lot with that quartet. And then Rachel and I have been taking that approach on as a duo only just recently, the past year or so.
Yeah, we're a pretty new group. Tom and I, besides Clogs, have worked together for multiple projects over the years for different chamber music things that come up with different ensembles. He's my first call percussionist. Anytime I need percussion, I call Tom because he's so amazing to work with. And then following a project we did in last summer of 2022, we put together one bassoon and percussion duo piece for a particular program up in Vermont. And it was actually so much fun that we just said, hey, why don't we develop a little bit more of a program as a duo and see where that leads. And so last year was our first little mini season, and we did some shows around New York, upstate New York, and in Cambridge, Mass, and up in Portland, Maine, and up in Vermont. And this year we're going a little bit further afield.
Do you have a new record? Is that why you're touring, or where are you in the recording situation?
We will have a video coming out on YouTube soon. This is actually a pretty interesting creative video done by our friend Tom Burnett of a piece by a gentleman named Gene Kaczynski. So that video will be coming out in the next week or so. In terms of like albums or whatever, we're not quite there with that process, but we're developing a bunch of stuff. And, you know, we are making some recordings along the way, but we'll probably be putting something out, at least some sort of a little EP or something, I would say, by next spring. So
maybe next summer, to be realistic. Yeah, this duo project fits in between our work fits in between the cracks of the rest of our lives. So it's everything is slower. But what I actually love developing music. We met twice over the summer to rehearse, and then a couple weeks ago we did a little tour of upstate New York and over to Morgantown, West Virginia. I prefer to develop music and perform it first before we even think about recording too much, so that it feels like it's the music itself is more developed, more inside us, rather than trying to go straight to a recording project. So it's sort of evolving organically.
So you're improvising. Are you finding things in your improvisations that you're going to retain for recording later? Ideas?
Yeah, I think some of the pieces, even the pieces that we've performed a number of times, they have, there's a lot of room for improvisation within the form. So as we're making new arrangements of those and playing them together, we're discovering new things about the music. And so yes and no, we'll remember, like we may not, there may be things in the improvisations that we find that we want to keep, whether it's a specific melody or interaction between the parts, you know, or it might just be a certain character. We're like, oh yeah, let's make sure we take the improvisation into that direction, you know, when we're playing. But it just gives things a chance to mature when we get to go out and play them for people and share them. So yeah, we do look some right now, because we do these intense sessions. I mean, the group really grows exponentially, you know, in short periods right now. So we're looking forward to we're excited about what we're playing, but we know that there's a lot more potential there. So
yeah, Tom, I think your question about you know, what you like in an improvisation, how to retain it, is really interesting. And I think for performers it can be really difficult, because you might do something you really like in a performance or a rehearsal, and you want to remember it and you want to get that, and it's so rare that it ever occurs again in the same way, or the group dynamic, the music doesn't lead to it another time, almost ever. Mm-hmm. So very often I think that's the beautiful thing about music. It's art in time. And most often I think we're not actually, I think when we're playing well, at least for me, my goal is not to try to recreate very much of anything. It's try to be in the moment and create something new, create a line, create a direction, and a sense of a narrative or, some sort of musical narrative or line. But not to try to, if I'm holding on to remembering what I did, you know, two weeks ago at that other show, I'd like to make that moment happen again. That is, it's a really hard goal.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of takes you out of the... No, go ahead.
I just say, you have to allow yourself to be in the moment. Yeah.
Now, I was going to say the same thing, that it takes you out of the moment to think about trying to play that certain kind of thing you did 2 weeks ago or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But ideas of it, like Tom Kozumbly said, the instrumentation choices, we might find, oh, that was a really neat moment between the NBC chimes and the voice, or NBC chimes and the vibraphone, or the melodica and the drums. There might be a part of the improvisation that we really like the texture of, and so we'll make sure to have those instruments play again together and see if something interesting occurs again.
Right. Yeah, creating an environment. Okay, so that's one of the most important things I find with people that I improvise with in small group settings, is just finding the choices of sounds that work well together and stuff. Finding those environments and those combinations of things is what's really crucial, because then you can just get absorbed in the sound and create. When you're excited about how the sounds are working already, then you can just really dive in.
And tell us, I'm guessing that you guys have solo works and probably work with others too. Is that true or not?
Yes.
So tell us a little about...
For the easiest place to find out, I have a number of different projects. I have a website that sort of leads to those different projects, including the EK Duo is there. And that is tamikaze.art. And it's spelled like kamikaze, but with a T. So that's tamikaze.art. And that has links to the various groups and projects that are sort of my main things right now, which includes EK Duo. And I never answered your question there. It just comes from our last names. So Elliot and Kozumplik Duo is the name of the group. And then Clogs, of course, which I mentioned, which is a group that Rachel and I played together in for years. I have a percussion and electronics-based project called Loop 243 that I've been creating music with a circle of people with for many years. And those things are all there. But we're both involved. Our main interests, I think, are really like chamber music things, creating music with other people, and finding, you know, artists that we think are interesting to work with.
I'm similar to Tom. I have a number of different projects. My mainstay as a performer is chamber music, when people aren't getting sick and COVID isn't going around. So I do some classical chamber music. I have a long-standing group in Vermont. I'm based in the Boston area, so I do some subbing around Boston with various chamber groups. And I play in a really cool bassoon duo with a wonderful colleague, Lynn Heilman, as well as a couple of larger bassoon ensemble, Rush's Ensemble, which is performs just one piece, but it's a concert-length piece by Michael Gordon, one of the founders of Bang on a Can. It's an amazing hypnotic piece for seven bassoons, and it's about an hour play length, so it's a big undertaking. So I do a lot of different things, and my website where everything's housed is my instrument, Bassoon Project, BASSOON Project, .org, I think.
Yeah. And what drew you to the bassoon?
A teacher in middle school. I was really a saxophonist. I was totally into the saxophone, and she's like, "You're never gonna make it. Saxophonists are a dime a dozen." So she's like, kept trying to get me to do something else. She wanted me to do clarinet, so I did a year on clarinet, and she said, "You should really do clarinet. You're gonna, you know, more opportunities. It opens doors." And she wasn't wrong compared to saxophone. Clarinet would offer many more opportunities, but I didn't like it. I liked the saxophone. So she had me try a year of flute, and same deal, I liked the flute even less. And so finally she convinced me I had to try bassoon. And when I got to high school, they had an old instrument that was like rotting on the shelves. It was unplayable. But my band director like sent it off to get it fixed, and it came back sort of marginally playable. And I took it home at the end of my first year of high school, and my mom could make a sound on the reed before I could. She figured it out. Yeah, and then I went from there. I fell in love with the way it looked and the sound of it. To me, it was very unusual. I had no idea what a bassoon was. So it was really just an insightful teacher who said, you're probably not going to make it as a jazz sax player. And I think she was probably right.
Is it similar to a clarinet or a flute? I mean, it seems larger.
Yeah,
and
some similarities. All the woodwinds are have a lot of relationship in terms of how the fingers you cover up holes or keys, and so it's based on a recorder actually. If you want to go back to the history of the instruments, all of our woodwind instruments are just think of putting down fingers on a pipe, a wooden pipe basically. So it's not dissimilar. It does have two reeds. It's what's called a double reed, along with the oboe. Oboe and bassoon are double reed instruments, whereas the clarinet and saxophone are just a single reed, a flat reed. So there's obviously differences. Every instrument has its little unique quirks, but I really liked the sound of the bassoon. I think that's what I was pushed there by a teacher, encouraged there by a teacher, and then I kind of stayed with it because I really liked it. I liked the sound.
In his treatise on instrumentation, I believe Hector Berlioz described the bassoon as being grotesquely beautiful.
And to be used with great care.
It's really a fabulous instrument. And I think people will be really, really taken aback, I think, by Rachel's approach to it, because you don't see it very much. She amplifies the bassoon and runs it through an effects chain. It just creates a really rich sound, and so that's some of what gets involved in our improvisations and stuff.
I think
she also improvises very, very extraordinarily well on the bassoon. I think it's a sort of hauntingly beautiful instrument, I think.
Rachel, are you going to give us a little sample? Is that what
you want, a little demo? Yeah, sure. I'll give you a little. This is a little melody from. I'll give you about 8 bars. How's that sound? Can
Sounds
I make a little
great.
Loop? It'll take about a minute. Okay, I'll make a little loop.
Very good. Thomas, do you have a similar story with the drums? Were you told from the switch, or did you want to switch instruments several times when you were younger?
My parents encouraged both my brother and I to choose an instrument to play. They really, really wanted us to go in the school music program, whatever, which is, I grew up in Michigan, so it's a band program, very few orchestral things. So we didn't have any bassoons, but they didn't want me. So I actually chose drums. So that's what I wanted to do. But because I wanted to play, you know, in a band in the basement with my friends, not in the school band as much. So, but they didn't want that. That, I think, was too daunting to them to have drums in the house. So
Many parents are against drums.
Yeah, so I picked the next. They wouldn't let me do that, so I picked the next loudest instrument, I guess, to pick trumpet, and I did that for a year. And then they let me switch because they knew that I wasn't really. The other thing was what I wanted to do. So yeah, then they let me switch, which it kind of ended up working out really well, because then there was this feeling that, oh, you're behind. So I got lessons right away and got a really good kind of, I think a better start than I probably would have if it would have happened the other way anyhow. So
did working with the trumpet inform your drumming?
I love the trumpet. I don't think I played it long or well enough for it to inform. but I did play a little bit of trumpet later on, because I did I did a little bit of teaching and had to go through music ed stuff and doing all the techniques classes and stuff. So it was fun to do that. But I didn't really. I mean, I was mostly playing drums throughout high school and stuff, and then really I got knocked out by the percussion program at the time at Central Michigan University. It was just a fabulous program, and I didn't know that stuff like that existed. The percussion ensemble music, the really diverse literature, and all the different instruments, marimba and vibraphones, and all these different kinds of bells and drums and gongs. It's just a really enormous palette of stuff to work with, and I hadn't been exposed to that before. So that's, I really dove in deep to this kind of total percussion world in college, and I think that's a lot of the stuff that really still informs my head compositionally. And so I'll pull in a variety of different things, as much as we can fit in the car. My big thing right now is vibraphone. Been playing a lot more vibraphone recently, and we'll have that for the Time and Space Limited coming up on Monday, and as well as a mix of I have like sort of a hybrid drum set with some acoustic drums and some electronic sounds and stuff. So it's fun.
Yeah, for me as a bassoonist, when you learn to play bassoon, the typical track has always been, oh, you learn to play orchestral music, you practice your auditions, and you win a job in a symphony. And I don't know if anyone's listening out there paying attention to the symphony world right now, but there are fewer and fewer jobs, although there's some good openings right now if you want to go for those auditions. But for me, it's been so much more interesting to play chamber music with classical chamber music and contemporary chamber music. There's all sorts of interesting instrument combinations. But there's something for me very special about working with a percussionist like Tom, who's into so many different instruments. He's not just a timpanist, for example. Some percussionists really specialize in a particular instrument and prefer to just, that's my instrument. Tom is not that. He's very broad, and like, you give him anything, upside down maple syrup tins, he'll make music on them. So it's you never know what's Tom Kazumflik's ear for instrumentation and sound it makes it magical to work with him. So yeah, we never know what's all the instruments that are going to show up. But there was a time touring with Clogs early on where a trunk full of clay pots were suspended from a huge metal frame, and he was improvising on all these clay pots pitched.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Rachel Elliott and Thomas Kazumflik, who are performing Monday, October 16th at TSL in Hudson. Do people need to be prepared for the show? Do you need to describe what you're doing, or how can you convince them to come?
Okay, well, they can go online and check out some music if they'd like. They do have a profile set up at the TSL website, and you can get advanced tickets. And and there are some descriptions there of us. I think people I think it's something that you're not really sure. It's difficult to describe, and it's going to be different than, and if I describe it to you, when you come, it's going to be different than what you expected, because it's that type of music that kind of fits between the cracks, somewhere between, I don't know. I don't want to start listing references, but it's that it's, even though it's contemporary modern music, whatever, it's actually, it's I think people would, and it's percussion and bassoon, you're thinking like, oh, it's not like in chamber music like piano and violin or whatever. Most of the music is actually really, really melodic, surprisingly. Even the stuff that